Don't be afraid to ask any question. And don't think the question is too simple. Hallelujah. Whatever question that you have in your heart, just, you know, ask. Hallelujah. So I think, I don't know if we'll respond first to
the question
yesterday.
What was the question?
Our brother. Yes, we'll give our brother opportunity since he had the question since yesterday.
Joshua, yeah. C'est quatre, mais j'avais commencé avec lui, compte tenu du temps, je me suis réservé.
He had four questions, but he just asked yesterday one.
You should ask all.
Je vais poser la question à Orion.
Ça va. Comme c'était pour les couleurs, que symbolisaient les couleurs dans le tabernacle et pourquoi Dieu a choisi seulement ces quatre couleurs-là?
The first one is about the colors.
Puis le second.
In the tabernacle, and he wanted to know why God chose those colors. Colors.
Where is the marker?
It's there.
The black marker, is it there?
The red one.
The red one. Okay. God. Who's? Are you talking? Okay, God is so big that if he speaks directly to us, we will not understand him. So Jesus said that God will speak to us in parables. So God will use what you can see to explain what he has in his mind. So, in the book of Romans, the Bible says that the things that are around us, if we look at them, we will know God. So, if you want to know God, you just look at what is happening around, the things that he has put around. From the thing you observe, it will give you an idea of what God is and what God is saying. So the Bible is written in symbols, in symbolism. You know. So God uses the number white to show something, to give an the color white to tell us about something.
Hey. Est-ce que vous entendez? John.
Okay. Be careful. The Bible says, "Even if our sin be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool." As wool.
Wool.
Yeah.
Rouge, le cola.
So white speaks of righteousness.
No,
white. Blanche is white. Justice. Is that righteousness? Okay. So the color white speaks of righteousness. And the Bible says that the bride was wearing a white robe, and which is the righteousness of the saints.
And the Bible says that the épouse a colata robe ya pembe is a symbol ya justice.
Do you understand? So if you come to the tabernacle,
so you to zoni na tabernacle,
there was a fence. This tabernacle was a white fence.
Tabernacle wana is on a barrier moko ya pembe. Clôture.
It had a white fence.
Is on a clôture moko ya pembe.
So it's like a white courtyard.
Is that
a fence?
But the color. Clôture ya pembe.
So if you are looking at the tabernacle from far.
So ko zota la tabernacle de loin.
What you will see is the white. That's what will strike you. So it means that your testimony as a Christian should be that of righteousness. When somebody thinks of you, what should strike the person is that this is a righteous person. So that's your testimony. That is a testimony of righteousness. So you will see white all over in the tabernacle. Because God has called us to overcome sin. So, as a Christian, in Christ, we have the authority, we have the ability, we have the grace to overcome sin. And the Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, that through the power of the Spirit, we will overcome the flesh, we will mortify the flesh. So the Holy Ghost is given to us so that we can overcome the flesh. So that we can make our garments white. Amen. So the color blue,
couleur bleu,
speaks of love. You know, blue is very calm. And it speaks of love. And the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. There is no enemy that love cannot overcome. At home, your enemies at home. If you have any enemies at home, in the house where you dwell, you can overcome them by love. And the Bible says our greatest enemy is self. So we must love to accept ourselves the way God has made us. Some people are not at peace with themselves. They want to be Americans. You wake up in the morning, you are not happy with God because you are not an American. It means that you don't love yourself. You're not at peace with yourself. You want to be somebody else. You wish that you were Kabila enjoying all the big cars and the deal. The basic message is that you are not at peace with yourself. And you may not even be at peace with the things God has given you. God may have given you a family, you are not at peace with your family. God may have given you brethren, and you're not at peace with the brethren he has given you. The Bible says that having food and raiment, let us be content. Food and clothes, we should be content. Contentment is a very important Christian virtue. You have one shoe. You should be content with just that one shoe. If you are not happy with that one shoe, even if God gives you 10 shoes, you will still not be happy with the 10 shoes. But you will not, so you may not agree. You say, okay, let me get the 10 shoes first. Then I will see whether I will be happy or not. But contentment is a grace from God. Paul said we should learn to be content.
Paul a lobi que il faut tout tanga pour mi.
And he said it is a good doctrine.
Parce que ezali e doctrine moko ya malam.
That you should learn to be content. Be happy with what God has given you. And Jesus gave a story about the talent. He gave three people talent. He gave one man one talent. The other one, he gave him five talents. The other one, he gave him 10 talents. I'm sure you know what happened. This one said, why should he give me one talent and give this person five talents? It was showing something in the heart. Strife and rebellion. If you are not content with what God has given you, it shows that there is a spirit of strife and contentment within you. And such a person is going to have
contention.
Strife and contention.
Contention.
Aha. No, content.
Contention.
There are two different things. Contention.
Contention is different.
From content.
Contentieux, c'est ça, non? Les différents avec des à la fin, comme un problème entre.
Oui, exactement.
Okay, so it's settled. Good. So, the problem is not the one talent or five talent or 10 talents.
Les cambouisantes n'ont pas talent, manque 5 talents ou 10 talents.
The problem was that there was something, a spirit that was within.
Parce que les cambouisantes, ils ont un esprit, manque, ils ont un cas de namoud.
And we in Africa must learn it. Because you are poor. We are poor. Your brother has a good job. Maybe all of you are looking for, you are praying for all of you to look for a job. Your brother now has a good job. He has a family. You are still believing God for a job. But your brother has gone ahead. He has a job. He has a family. He's moving ahead. What is God saying to you? He's telling you about blue. To be content. With where you are. Look at the five fingers. They are not equal. Yet they are equal. They all do the same function. This pen is being held by five fingers. Some are doing more work than the others. Some, you can even see them more than the others. Some are bigger than the others. Some are longer than the others. But all of them are doing the same work of holding the pen. So that's how it is in the house of God. Some people are more prominent than others. And look at your body. There are parts of your body that you have never seen since you were born. But if they stop functioning, that is the end.
Sorry?
If those parts that you don't see, if they stop functioning, you are dead. See, this mouth is always talking. If you cut it off, this mouth, you will not die. But the heart which is inside, anything that happens to it, that is over. So that's how it is in the body. To abide in love. To be calm. to be calm.
Kozala kimia.
To learn to be gentle.
Ko sala effort ko tanga kozala gentil.
To learn to be mild.
Mild. Ko yeko la kozala modere.
People from DRC and people from Nigeria are not mild.
Batu ya Congo, RDC na batu ya Nigeria bazaka
Is that correct?
Est-ce que c'est vrai?
Is that correct? C'est correct? Oui, hein? Okay, Nigeria like this. Ah, Congo like this. So two of them are brothers. Two of them are brothers. God is telling two of them to calm down, calm
down.
Amen.
Amen.
So, say robe of blue. You must wear it. This blue. Yes. Amen. You know, and the Bible said the priest will wear. He will wear this robe of blue.
Bible zolo ba ke prince akolata robe ya bleu. Prêtre. Ba prêtre.
So that if before you can touch the flesh, you must go through the robe of blue.
Ko ete avant que ke ko simba musuni, simba nzoto, il faut simba na no couleur bleu wana elamba walati ya bleu.
God is saying, let it be that before anybody can touch you, he will touch blue first.
Nzambe zo senga mutu na mutu ala tango po avant que mutu asimba yo asimba na no couleur wana bleu libo.
And the love you have will cover the multitude of sins. Particularly when you are relating one to another.
Particulièrement par rapport à la relation à biso réciproque.
And you know, in the house of God, there are so many people in the house of God. And we are not perfect. You are not perfect. Your brethren are not perfect. So the only way to relate is that you must be mild. Concerning one another.
So
you see that in the whole temple, different places, you will see the color blue. Now the other color that you find is a color purple. That is it, violet, purple. Is the color of blood. Rouge. Amen.
Amen.
Well, yes, that is true, but this purple speaks of that. You are right. But it is the blood of Jesus that brings redemption to us. So this color is the color of redemption, purple.
Mauve is a couleur ya redemption.
And even though Jesus, the general thing too is that this color, purple, also speaks of royalty. Royalty.
Sorry. Royalty. Royalty. Royalty.
Yes, because God is calling us to be kings and priests with Him. And then you have the color gold. Gold is a piece of the nature of God. Now, when you get gold and you heat it, you apply pressure. The more you put more fire on gold,
plus oso mettre feu na or oyo,
it is becoming purer.
Ezo koma pur.
All the impurities will be going out.
Impurité nyonso ekoki kozala na kati kobanda.
The more pressure you put on it,
plus oso tia pression,
the more precious it is becoming.
Plus ezo koma précieux.
So if you want it to be precious,
soko lingango ekoma précieux,
you put a lot of pressure.
Yo tia pression ebele.
And that's what God is doing to you and me. God is passing you through pressure. Amen. He puts more pressure on you. That you may have more value. That you may have more that you become more precious to him. How many people like pressure? How many people like trouble? You like trouble. You wake up in the morning and say, God, give me trouble. Bless me with trouble in Jesus' name. You don't pray that prayer. But you say, God, bless me. The only way God can bless is to put more pressure on you. Amen. So if you don't want pressure, don't ask God to bless you. Say, God, bless me today. God said, no problem. He sends a troublesome person to you. As your office mate. As your office mate.
Un collègue de service.
Oh, your neighbor.
Ou bien voisin.
Oh, your teacher. Or your boss.
Ou bien professeur. Na auto chef.
God wants to bless you. Hallelujah. But what we see, we say, oh God, kill the man, let him die. There is a witch in my compound, kill him. But you say, God should bless you. So he sent you an uncle who is troublesome. He has stolen all your father's land. You promised your father, I will train him. Don't worry, just give me the land. I will train all your children.
Sorry?
You promised your father, I say, I will train all your children when you die. Now he has gone the other way, he has forgotten you. God is blessing you. So you learn how to forgive. So you learn how to be patient. You learn how to pray for your enemies. And in doing that, you become a better person. Hallelujah. So these are the natures, the colors you find in the Bible, in the tabernacle. And there are natures that God is walking into you. Those of us from Africa, God is blessing us. See how we are now. We are just sweating in the sun. It would have been good to have the meeting in an air-conditioned room. Everything is working very well. You can even be drinking tea while you are asking the questions. Hallelujah. But God says, leave them in the sun. Let me see whether they will complain. Whether they will still be happy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God is making your faith strong. So whether there is light or no light, doesn't make any difference to you. So as Christians, God sometimes may let you go through situations that you can't explain, just difficult situations. So would you say because of that you will not come to fellowship? You come out in the morning. You come out in the morning with your family. You enter the car. The battery has run down. And it's raining. Amen. Would you go to fellowship? Oh, why should God allow the battery to run down and it's raining? God is trying to test you. Amen. Do you really want to come to fellowship? God is testing the heart. So God, somebody can even say something bad about you. Amen. And destroy your reputation. So God wants to know what you will do. Are you going to forgive? Are you going to turn the other cheek? Or you show them you are from Kisangani? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So God will test you. That's good. He wants to refine your faith. Hallelujah. Are there all kinds of situations that you will face? Which will not be good for you. Should not be palatable for you. Which will not be comfortable. Which may not be comfortable for you. So God wants you to overcome. So whether the environment is comfortable or not, you must continue. Sometimes in the night there is no light all over the place. Can you read your Bible with candle? Amen. Say amen. Can you read your Bible with candle? Everywhere is hot, you are sweating and you are reading your Bible with candle. That is good. God is trying to test you. Let me see what you will do. Oh, you are among those who only read your Bible when there is light and air condition, everywhere is fine. Then the anointing comes. Or when there is prosperity in Congo, then I will see God. There was a man called Ezekiel. The Bible says he was a captive. He was a slave. He was in captivity. No freedom.
The
Bible says, when he was among the captives, the heavens opened. And he began to see visions of God. In a slave camp. Hallelujah. He was so comfortable. But God manifested himself to him. There was another man called
Jacob.
He got to the wilderness. He was running away from his brother. He was running away from his brother. He had stolen his brother's birthright. Inheritance. The Bible says that he used stone as pillow. And right in the desert, nothing to cover himself. It was cold. The wind was blowing sand into his eyes. He was trying to clean his eyes. He was afraid of all the things crawling in the sand. In that condition, he had a vision of God. He saw heaven open. He saw a ladder. You saw angels ascending and descending. I'm trying to tell you that in whatever condition you are, God can visit you. Whether you went to school or didn't go to school, God doesn't affect God. Whether you are a man or woman, God can meet you. Whether you are rich or poor, God can meet you. God is looking for a right heart. That's what that God speaks of. God is looking for the nature of God in you. And when you have a right eye, he will meet you wherever you are. Amen. So he says, use those colors and you will weave this veil. And part of that cloth, they also use it to cover this holy place and the holiest of all. They use it as a covering for the sanctuary. To separate and also to cover. So it is your overcoming that will bring a covering for other people. Our brother Papi and sister Giselle have overcome in marriage. So anywhere you are now, if you tell them don't pay dot, they say it's not possible. You say no, it's possible. Because there is somebody in my fellowship who didn't pay dot and he got married. So it is a covering for other young people who are coming up in Congo. So when you overcome, you're overcoming for other people also. So that's what God is saying, that when you overcome, it's not just for you, other people benefit from it. Because we are in a body. Your overcoming is the overcoming of others. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we'll stop there. Amen. Are you satisfied? Okay, good. So, any more questions?
Maybe you can ask all four of them.
Okay, you can ask all of them so that we will know. Because they may be similar.
La deuxième question, partie 6.
The second question is about the sixth part of the tabernacle.
L'arche. Dans l'arche. Il y avait quoi à l'intérieur de l'arche? Et puis c'était le même arche que le même modèle que Moïse avait, mais David avait comment?
You want to know what were inside the ark
of the covenant?
Yes, and is it the same
in the tabernacle of David?
Moses.
Okay.
Okay. Dans le tabernacle, il y avait la toiture.
In the tabernacle, there was a roof on top of it.
Yes. Quel genre et quel modèle de toiture qu'il y avait dans le tabernacle?
It was which type
et puis la
of
fin?
Roof.
Okay.
Une question, pourquoi il y avait la différence des hôtels? Il y a des hôtels en argent et puis en or.
Why the hôtels were different?
Why the what?
The
altars, okay.
One is from
brass,
the
other
is
gold.
Why that difference?
Okay, those are the questions. Okay, so let's take the first one. That's the altar, the ark. Bring the is that the cleaner? Okay, there's water there.
Where was
it? Maybe I don't know which one I should clean now. Okay, I don't want to clean this. Okay, the ark was made of wood. L'arche
était
Ils ont made of wood.
En bois.
Ok, so you are that wood. Do you understand? The wood speaks of humanity. The wood is not from heaven, it's something you find around. So it represents you and it represents me. It represents your heart and represents my heart.
Okay.
So in the ark, this is the box.
Na arche, par exemple, il y a dessin, on a ça, il y a boîte.
There were three things in the ark. There was the table of the covenant. And Brother Bere was telling us this morning about that ark of the about the tables of the covenant. Moses went up to the mountain to receive the ark of the tables of the covenant.
So it's the Ten Commandments.
Yes, Ten Commandments.
Oh, commandments.
The Ten Commandments. And when he came down, okay. Let me just tell you the three. There are three of them. First one is the Ten Commandments, the Ark, the tables of the covenant. The second one was a jar that had manna. It had manna. Then the third one was a tree. Aaron's rod. The rod of Aaron. Okay, Bible says that it became a grew, had branches and had flowers and had fruits. So those are the three things inside the ark. Okay, those are the three things we find inside the ark. So how did those things come about? They didn't fall from heaven. It was an experience. It was through the experiences in the wilderness that the people received these three things. And Brother was telling us this morning that the wilderness is a type of the world, a type of the experience your soul goes through in the world. So as you walk with God, these experiences will be imparted in your life. So people say immediately the trumpet will blow in Jerusalem. They will carry them to heaven. And they'll be free from all the troubles. What's what they call rapture? Alevmore.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So from this you can see there is no alevmore anywhere. Everybody must go through the wilderness. As you go through the wilderness, these experiences will be put inside you.
Experience ya table ya alliance ya man na ya bato ya Aaron ekokota na kati na yo.
Okay, so let's look at the first one.
Total anamu ya liboso.
The tables of the covenant.
Table ya alliance.
It's a covenant. It's an agreement that you make with God. I remember God says, I will make a new covenant. Say, I will put my law inside you. God wants to write his law in you. Because he wants to dwell in you. You are his kingdom. But before God comes, there is another law that is within you. And
the
Bible says it is the law of sin and death. So this law is to cancel that former law. So this one is coming to cancel that one, to establish a new order. And that is the problem with the pastors. Because when you become a pastor, you don't carry your Bible to fellowship anymore. You don't read your Bible anymore. You are a big man. Nobody can preach to you. Because the people do not know what they are doing. This one tells you that every one of us, we have a problem. So we must all submit to one another, the ministry that is coming from within the body. Because I need help, you need help. Everybody needs help. Because within us is a law of sin and death. God has to bring, is trying to bring a new law. And this law will fight with the old law. So the Bible says the flesh and the spirit will be fighting. You and I have the key. Who will win?
You have the key.
Both of you and I, we will decide. We will decide who will win. Whether the flesh will win or whether the spirit will win. Now, when God wrote the first law, Moses came down. He told Moses was angry. He broke the law. Because the people, we are in rebellion. So when God looks at us, he sees rebellion in our hearts. So he told Moses, oh yeah, go back again. This time God said, oh yeah, Moses, you will now write the law. I will be saying it and you will write. So what God is saying is that the principle of receiving the word of God is based on two things. There is a place where you hear what God is saying to you. But it's not enough. You need to work it out. And it is your brothers and sisters, your wife, your uncles that will help you walk it into your life. So if when God says, thou shalt have no other God before me, if the people did not rebel to bring another God, that word will not be established in their midst. So, when God came, he found rebellion. God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. So, there were two choices they had to make. To submit to God or follow many gods. So what does that mean? Every word you are hearing this weekend must be tested. Every word I preach to you, God must test it in me. That's why I will advise you not to be very quick to open, carry your Bible and come here and start opening. Because anything you preach, immediately you go and sit down, it will start working. They will start testing it in your life. The Bible says the word of God is a two-edged sword. When you are cutting like this, the back is for you. So every word of God must be tested in our life. So the word of God says it is sweet in your mouth, but it's bitter in your belly. Bitterness, that bitterness speaks of repentance. Any word of God that doesn't bring you to the place of repentance is not from God. God's purpose is to bring repentance, to write this law within you. So there is a secret I want to show you. And the secret is to know and to realize that you are the one that has the problem. The problem is not with my wife or my husband. The problem is not with my enemy. I have the problem. If you realize that when two of you, two people are quarreling, if you want to repent, look at your heart first. Forget about the other person. Because God is using that quarrel to show you the condition of your heart. So that is what this Tables of the Covenant is saying. Every word God gives you, He must test it in your life. So God says the clean animals are the ones that eat the word of God, and then they have time to meditate on it. They bring it up about again, meditate on it, and walk in it. Those are the clean animals. Clean. Pure. Pure. Uh-huh. But those who are not clean, immediately they hear the word of God, they threw it out and they go where they're going. So the word of God, you must have a way of thinking about it, meditate about it, see how it applies in your life, and you walk in it. And by so doing, the word of God is now being walked into your life. It's being made flesh. It's like a student when they teach you the history of DRC in class. You must go back and study it. You must think about it. You must find a way to remember it. And it is by so doing that that subject now enters into you. You now know it well. But if the teacher teaches it and you don't go to revise, you will fail. So you must think about the word of God. You must meditate on it. You must walk in it. That way it is now written into your heart. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you."
Bible lobiko li loba o ngana liye koti na kati nanga.
that I may not sin against you.
Je ne puis pécher contre toi.
To hide something is an active thing. It means you have to look at it very well, look for where to hide.
Bomba eloko, eza eloko moko, eza très sensible parce que faut talaba paramètres nyonso pona koyeba ndenge nini yako bomba ngo.
It's different from somebody who just receives the word and drums it anyhow and goes. The devil will come and steal it and go his way.
Is that different na mutoyo a recevoir eloko moko ati ango kaka na découvert boye? Is that très facile pour na diable ko yako yiba ngo pe ko kende nango?
So when you hide the word of God in you, the Bible says it will help you not to sin. Amen. So it's possible for the word of God to benefit you. And that was what God was saying to the children of Israel.
Say,
take my word and hide it to you. Amen. The other thing, the second thing was the pot of manna. The Bible says that the manna fell from heaven. The Bible says it is the bread of heaven. But they were eating the bread of heaven physically. For 40 years they were eating the bread of heaven, they were eating it. Human beings were eating the bread of heaven. In fact, Psalm says it was the corn of heaven. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, man shall not eat live by bread alone. But by the rhema of God. So it says the rhema or the So God was saying that rhema is the same as the manna. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And Jesus said, I am also the word of God. And Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is spiritual bread. And Jesus said the bread of God is he that comes from heaven. Is he that came from heaven. Good. The bread of God is a person. And that person is Christ. And the Bible told them, every day you come out in the morning, you gather the manna, you got eat it. If you leave it to the following morning, it will grow bad, it will grow warm. Some of them say, that is Moses, he has come again. Every time they would allow us to exercise ourselves. You know what they did? They kept it. They said, nothing will happen. By the following morning, there was a smell all over the camp. The place was smelling because the thing has spoiled.
That
is what happens to us when we are rebels. God is telling you to do something. It is something is hot in your heart. Do this. Say no, there's time. I'm still a young man. When I become old, I will serve God. By that time, the bread is stinking. By that time, your zeal has died. By that time, you won't have the opportunity or the ability to do that thing God is telling you to do. So, if God is giving you a burden, go ahead and do that thing God wants you to do. If God tells you, go to somebody and apologize to the person, go and do it immediately. Don't wait, say, okay, let me go and fast. After fasting, I'll pray. Then I'll go and apologize to the person. You did something wrong against the brother. God says, go and apologize immediately. If you don't obey God, then it's of no use. Amen. So God says, when you collect the manna, keep it. Finish it that day. But God says, take a handful of it, put it in this jar, and take it and put inside the ark as a memorial. But this one they put there, Bible says it will be there forever. It will not spoil. You know what it means? Anything that is of God will never die. If God brings into a relationship, if it is God, it will not die. I hope there's nobody here who is planning to go and start a church.
Say,
let me learn tabernacle so that when I go to my church, I got to teach tabernacle in my church. The manna will decay. It will stink. That is what is happening all over the place. Stinking. Because God did not command them. It is not born of God. Whatsoever is born of God would overcome. Hallelujah. When God gives you a word, that word will never decay. The promise may drag, may stay, it may delay, but it will surely come to pass. So make sure you receive the word of God. And you are building on the word of God. It will never decay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said, put it and keep it there. It will be there forever. Any fellowship that is of God will never break down. If God brings a people together, nobody can scatter them. But if it is an arrangement of men, it will not stand. So make sure that where you are, it is God that ordained it. Because if it is men that ordained it, no matter how much you try, it will crumble. And we will suffer loss. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is the manna. The living bread of God. And Jesus is the manna.
Jesus Christ is a man.
And he puts his spirit in us. So there is a measure of Christ in every one of us. So when we come together, we are partaking of the Christ in one another. We are partaking of the Christ. That is in one another. And when I am ministering to you, This Christ in you will agree with the Christ in me. So I'm not here to convince you. Ministry is not to convince people to speak grammar and argue and state your point. That is not ministry. Paul said, we are not here to convince you. Because the Spirit of God in you agrees with us that we are the servants of God. So if God gives you a ministry, you just come and share the ministry and go and sit down. The Spirit of God will confirm in the hearts of the brethren whether it's of God or not. So if you have a dream, share your dream and go and sit down. If you have a teaching, teach and go and sit down. You will come and say, look, I shared you the other day, you have not done it. God will kill all of you. That is not manner. That is not manner. Because that is not man. It's not man, not manner. Amen. God will confirm his word. It's not your job, your own job. Just say what God gave you and go and sit down. Give the people of God the liberty to decide. Hallelujah. Everybody should have the liberty to be fully persuaded that this is what God wants me to do. And if you are from God, you will allow people to make up their minds. Because you know it is God's job to convince the people. It's not your word, it's God's word. He will confirm it. So this is a very important aspect that causes some, you know, some disagreement in fellowship. Because somebody will say, oh, I shared the word and they didn't want to accept my word. It's not your word. Just say what God wants you to do and go your way. God will confirm. Amen. So we feed on Christ in the body. We feed on Christ in the body. We are nourished by the ministry for one another. And that's why God said you must not neglect the assembling of yourselves together. So Paul said, no. If it's to pray, it's not to pray. I can pray. Is anybody who cannot pray? All of us who can pray at home. Why do I need to come and meet you? I stay at home and pray. That is rebellion.
What is that rebellion?
Because there is a ministry in your brethren that God wants you to partake of. We cannot be perfected alone, but it is in the body that we will be perfected. And then there is also Christ that is in our midst that we can fellowship with. Jesus is there personally and you can relate with him and he can minister to you personally. If you are walking with God, by the time you come to fellowship, the things that Christ told you will be the things that you will be hearing. And then the word of God also comes to you. As we are together, the word of God is ministering in our midst. And then the final one, the Aaron's rod that budded. It comes out of contention. Out of, Because the people of God began to struggle among themselves. Who is the anointed of God? They say, Moses, are you the only one that God has sent? It didn't start today. It was been there a long time. They say, are you the only one? We too, we are the anointed men of God.
So,
God said, okay, everybody bring your rod. Bring your rod together. Rod.
Baton. Ah, okay.
Your baton. Mm-hmm. So they say, leave it before the presence of God, before the ark. In the following morning, the rod of Moses had grown. It has brought forth leaves, flowers, fruits, and it was blooming. That shows spiritual contention. And in one level, it speaks of contention against the spirit, against the powers of darkness. That shows the believer cannot have spiritual authority unless you contend with spirit. You must contend with the spirit in your family. You must contend with the spirit in your tribe. You must contend with the spirit in your nation. As you contend with them, God will give you spiritual authority over them. Amen.
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 Ah, you are tired. Are you tired? You are tired. Okay, you are not tired. Okay, please, let's pay attention. We will soon end. Amen. So, has God given this fellowship a spiritual authority over traditional marriage? Over dot.
Traditional marriage.
Over dot.
Au-delà, il y a dot. Sur dot.
So has God given us authority over dot? What's the answer?
Oh, yes.
Okay, how did you get the authority? By running away from it. When you come against it, so we will not pay dot. You start praying. You start resisting the devil. God will give you authority over it. Amen.
Amen.
So, God will also give you authority over different aspects of tradition in your country. The practices in your tribe. The practices in your family. There's some family spirits that you need to overcome. That is Aaron's rod that budded. They say you must serve them. You must serve them. Your father married his wife and sent her away. She stays for three years outside and comes back and stays for 1 year. Then goes back out again 3 years and comes back. That's how she's going and coming. Hallelujah. It is a practice in DRC that every young man before you are 25 you have a child before you marry. Either for the woman or for the man. Aaron's rod must bud. You must rise up. I say it will not happen to me. And you start praying. You start believing God. You say, my father's family, my father's marriage broke. My uncle's family broke. All the brothers of my uncle, of my father, none of them is living with their first wife. And you are married and you see the same problem coming to you. God is telling you about Aaron's rod that budded. God is saying you should contend. If you contend against that spirit, it is a familiar spirit. Or a spirit in your tribe. Or a spirit in your country. Bind the devil. You bind the devil. And the devil will run away from you. How do you fight against this kind of spirit?
How do you?
Yes, how do you do it? The Bible says by fasting and prayer.
Bible zolo ba ke c'est par les jeûnes et les prières.
Not just fasting and prayer in your house. Not just fasting and prayer in your house, but you must come to the church. Because you need the strength of the church to help you overcome. One man does not fight tradition. That's why you have the church. It says one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000, three will chase 100,000, four will chase 1,000,000. That's why you need the church. If you destroy the church with your tongue, who will fight with you when you want to overcome? If you destroy the church with your mouth, who will fight with you when it is your own tongue? Your life depends on the church. Your victory depends on the church. So make sure you build up the church. Because if the church is strong, you will be strong to overcome. As you are praying, somebody has a dream, somebody has a vision, somebody sees it. Before the devil won't know what, before long he's over, you just knock him out. God is commissioning this church to break down all the traditions of DRC. You see, now you're afraid. You say amen. You're still afraid. Say amen. You're afraid. Say amen.
Amen.
No. Say amen.
Amen.
No, you are still afraid. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is raising you to break down the traditions. Do you like the traditions? Do you like it? If you don't like it, then believe God. It is possible to break it down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When we came first, we told you it's possible not to pay dough. You said no, it's not possible. But now you are the one preaching it that it is possible not to pay dough. When we went to Uganda, in the church there, they said God has told them to break down the traditions of Uganda. They have the same traditions that you have. A young girl has two or three children following her. She's not yet married, but she has two or three children following her. That's not God. And you must decide to break it. God will anoint you if He is sure you want to do it. When you get married, you must decide, you must remain in your marriage. It takes two to overcome. There is no perfect marriage. There is no perfect wife. There is no perfect husband. But you can make your husband perfect. On your knees. On your knees, when you pray, it is your responsibility to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you will not do it by saying, no, I'm going. When once you marry for life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has not called us to separate any marriage. Amen. Rather, we'll be bringing the marriages together. And we're praying that the marriages will be closer. If you are separated from your wife, please go and look for her and bring her back. If you know any marriage that's about to break, make sure you pray that they come together. We are, God said, I hate
divorce.
And this fellowship must hate divorce. In this fellowship, no room for divorce. No room to discuss it. Hallelujah. So you must tell the devil, no room for divorce. No, no DRC culture here. Amen. When once you marry for life. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you see that in the next few years you will be preaching it that it is possible.
So,
in this room, there are so many young men and so many young women I'm seeing. God is depending on you to do something new in DRC.
Amen.
God wants to use you to, as an example, that it is possible to marry the right way. Amen. And you must make up your mind. I say I will be part of this thing that God wants to do. We are going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. All who want to be part of this special blessing. At the end of this session, we are going to pray. And we are going to pray for those who are married. Let me tell you, God, the devil attacks those who are married.
He
will attack your mind. Attack your emotions. Your husband will say, grace. You will hear idiot. Your husband said, grace. The devil will turn it around. And you will hear idiot. And you start fighting. Amen. One brother says, you say Gideon, the devil will say idiot. You say Gideon, but the devil says idiot.
Tu as dit Gédéon a dit idiot.
Non. Quelqu'un dit Gédéon.
Ok.
Et la personne à qui il parle, lui, il entend idiot.
Idiot.
C'est ça.
So you must be patient with communication.
Donc, le Seigneur a dit qu'on a la passion, la casse et la communication.
So we're going to pray for ourselves. I also need the prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So that God will help us to overcome. We must overcome the spirits that say you will not marry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So I think I'll stop there. I mean, not that aspect, but I think we'll leave it as it is. Finally, about the altars. The altar. This one is brass and this is gold.
Oh, is that bronze? Okuna is an or.
This one too is gold.
Okuna pe likolo is an lien très saint, is that or? Is an or?
Amen.
Amen.
The altar is your heart. It is the place where the offering is made. Your obedience to the word of God is the sacrifice. When you hear the word of God, you say, God, I receive your word. Help me to walk in your word. That is the offering. Hallelujah. But you see, if your heart is not right, if there is bias in your heart,
prejudice,
or if you have an interest, when the word of God comes, you say, it's not for me. It is for the preacher. It is for my brother. You will not benefit from it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the first, when you meet God, the first thing God will do is He will begin to judge your heart. Because the Bible said that the heart of man is wicked. You see, the heart of man is evil. Says, and desperately wicked, who can know it? So God must judge that wicked heart. And John says, if you say we don't have anything, we deceive ourselves. So as you are coming to God, you must make up your mind. Say, God, my heart is not right. My heart is evil. Have mercy upon me. That is the right sacrifice. The publican says, oh God, you know, I pay my tithe. I'm a very good Christian. Don't mind that man. He's very poor. He doesn't know what to do. But I'm a good Christian. The Bible says the sinner, the publican came. He couldn't even raise his say, "Oh God, be merciful upon me, a sinner." And God accepted him. The publican, he came in repentance. Say, "God, forgive me." So if you have a right hand, God begins to judge you. And it will continue to work on your heart until your heart becomes like gold, changes to that of gold. So that you can now bring an acceptable offering to God. But before you can come here, you must first of all begin here at the place of judgment.
Avant que yo koma na hotel ya parfum, esengeli na oba na nana oya se na hotel oya jugement.
So you must always have the habit of judging your heart. The Bible says a wise man will receive correction and become wiser. Even if somebody corrects you in a very bad way, find something in that correction that you can apply to yourself. Instead of the brother speaking quietly, he was shouting to you on you. Find something positive about it and apply it to yourself. You see that your heart will change. It will become a right place to bring an offering to God. Okay, I think we can stop there for those questions.
He's asking about the roof.
Okay, the roof. Okay, the covering. Okay, it's a bit complicated.
Is that a bit complicated?
But we'll just simplify it quickly because I'm sure others have questions. There were four types of covering over this sanctuary.
Four.
There are four layers. Okay. The first level was made up of the cloth, a mixture of all these colors. The first one that you used to cover.
Na couverture et liboso et à premier niveau et salami na ba couleur quatre autres monaki pembe bleu pourpre na or.
Okay, then he said they use goat hair. Goat. They bought the skin of goat and dyed it red and then they used it to cover. That was the next covering.
Ba salela ki poso ya ngombe ba bongisa ki yango malamu ba utiliser ki yango pona kozipa.
Okay, and then they brought the skin of another animal. I've forgotten the name now. They use it to cover. Actually, it's the fourth one. In fact, let's look at the scripture. I'm forgetting. Let's look at Deuteronomy 25. Exodus 26.
She
tell us.
26.
Okay.
Exodus 26.
Wait, just hold on.
Sorry?
Just hold on, let me. Okay, I've seen it. Okay, it's there are four coverings. There was the covering of the this cloth, then there was goat's head, then there was ram skin dyed red, then the last one was badger skin.
What's
the whole of 26, you see it, verse 1, you see 7, 14, 1, 7, 14.
Okay.
Okay, so it's 1, 7, 14. 14 has two of them. It says that thou shalt make a covering for the tie of ram skin and the covering of badger skin. So Exodus 26, 1, 7, and 14. Okay? So there was the cloth of the tabernacle. Okay? So there was the cutting. Then there was goat's hair. And then there was ram skin. And then badger skin. Okay. Now, if you notice, you see skin all through, or hair.
Sorry?
If you notice, goat's hair, ram skin, badger skin.
So, ki otali idowana otali poil ya taba otali bélier posa bélier na wana msusu.
How do you get somebody's hair? Goat's hair.
Dauphin. Na dauphin poso a dauphin.
How would you get goat's hair?
Ngeni ni koki kozwa suki ya bapoal ya taba.
You must kill the goat to get the skin.
Ngeni na nkoboma taba avant ya kozwa bapoal na.
How do you get ram skin or badger skin?
Ngeni ni yo koki kozwa poso ya bélier ou bien poso ya dauphin.
You will only get it after you have killed them, isn't it so? So what the Bible is saying, it is the covering of the church is the covering of our lives. When we lay down our lives for one another, we cover one another.
Bible couverture is that
when we lay down our lives, when we lay down our lives, we become a covering for the church. Goat's hair speaks of the glory of the goat, the beauty of the goat. There are some of us who God has blessed with special gifts, special abilities. God wants you to willingly offer it for the covering of the church. Sometimes God will want you to die so that the church can be covered. God can give you a body to fast and pray for somebody, and he will not allow you to tell that person. So what your right hand is giving, let your left hand not know. That's covering. God will make it to be a blessing, but he will not allow you to announce it. God can show you the lie in the fault in the life of a brother or even your wife or husband, and God says, don't talk about it, just pray. God can use you to suffer loss so that the people of God can receive benefit.
Nzambe akoki ko utiliser po yo souffrir po na ko faire bénéficier ba misusu.
Amen.
Amen.
So the covering of the body is from the body itself.
Donc couverture ya nzoto eza po na nzoto yango moko.
It's not a mechanical thing.
Eza eloko moko eza mechanical.
It is our life that God uses as a covering.
Nzambe zo utiliser po na ko.
If God has blessed you, that blessing should also minister to others.
So kinzamba pamboli yo, pamboli na ope esengeli e te ya ba misusu.
Without charging the people of God. Maybe you have a car. And the fellowship wants to use the car. You say no problem. 1 hour is 20 CFA. If you use it for 1 day, you pay me 10,000 CFA. It shows that you don't understand the principle of covering. Hallelujah. That what God gives you, you use it to bless the people of God. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. You don't charge the people of God for it. Or maybe because you can sing. Because you can sing in the house of God. If you must pay me. After all, I have to eat. So you start to charge the people of God for the gift that you have. It should be an offering. You offer your gift to bless the people of God, free of charge. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, there are more questions. Yes.
Moi, j'aime savoir la différence entre Jéhovah, Dieu d'alliance, et Elohim, Dieu de
l'Esprit. Sabi, it's on water.
Hein? You want to know the difference between Jehovah?
It was my bottle. Of course. Yes.
Go. The difference between Jehovah, God of covenant.
Okay, and Elohim. Okay.
Dieu de quoi?
Okay. I don't know.
God of religious.
Okay, so don't worry, I can manage this. Okay, Elohim and then Jehovah.
Elohim and Jehovah.
God has many names.
Dieu a beaucoup de noms.
He says, I am that I am.
Alobiko Naza O Naza.
And he says, I am Jehovah. And then he says, they call him Elohim. Elohim is a general name.
Elohim is a general.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's like when you marry a wife. Do you call her her full name? You look for a special name. Maybe Papi will tell us a special name. Papi, you have a special name for
Giselle.
Giselle, what's the special name? What's the special name?
Combo special or you bring a
camera? Oh, you don't have any special name for her.
Oh, so you have combo special then.
No special name. Oh, you will find it tomorrow. Giselle, don't agree. He must give you a special name. He must call you a special name. When you hear that name, you know it's from for Papi. Amen.
Amen.
That's how it is with God. When God comes to you, he shows you his special name. Some people say God. But when he reveals himself to you, then you call him a special name. Jehovah.
Jehovah.
When you call him that one, he knows that this is a special name. It is a covenant name. When you call him, it means you are reminding him of the promise he made to you. But if you call him God, it's just a common name. So Elohim just meant Almighty God. That word is also used to address some men. Some high men, they call him Elohim. They call them Elohim.
Then
there's no man that is called Jehovah. Jehovah is a special covenant name. It means that he has redeemed you. So it speaks of a special relationship. Amen. The Bible says that the Spirit of God makes us to call him Abba, Father.
Bible zolo ba ke molimo na nzambe e sungibiso e pona kobenga e Abba o e signifie père.
If you call him Father, it means he has a responsibility over you, and you also have a responsibility unto him.
Tangu yo zobenga e père, ezola kisake azana responsabilité moko sur yo, pe yo zana responsabilité moko par rapport na ye.
If you say God, there's nothing attached. He is God. He is showing us that he is God. Hallelujah. But when you call him
Jehovah,
it's a worship. You are recognizing and you also promising something. So it speaks of a relationship. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, yes. Sorry about the son. It's part of the hardness.
Désolé pour la moye.
J'ai très petite question. Je voudrais que vous nous parliez sur les offrandes de la vie.
Okay, tight.
Donc les offrandes de la vie. L'enlèvement.
Tithe and rapture, 11 more. Okay.
Tithe and offering and rapture.
Please call Brother Berry to come. He's a specialist. In Dean and 11 more, come. he's a specialist in Dean and 11 more. Don't worry, he'll come and answer it. Brother is asking about Dean.
Il va donner une explication par rapport à la différence qu'il y a entre offrande,
come, come.
Dean et enlèvement.
Dean and enlèvement. Enlèvement, you know what it means? Rapture.
I don't carry all that.
No, just go straight to the point. Hallelujah.
Yes, I don't mind. The last. So I can drink straight from the bottle.
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. We'll start with the tithe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When God brought Israel out of Egypt, He gave them certain laws. These laws had natural implications. But they also had spiritual implications. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible said the natural comes first. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the spiritual, is that which is much more profitable. That is what is in God's heart. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God told the children of Israel, when they harvest their crops, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They should reserve a tenth for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, physically, that was to use to sustain the priests. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it was for the sustenance of the priests. And under that arrangement, the priests themselves do not pay tithes. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Priests do not pay tithes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Under this new dispensation, the Bible says you are a royal priesthood. Is that correct?
Yes.
That you are priests.
Est-ce que ça correct que tu es un prêtre?
Every Christian is a priest.
Amen.
If you believe it, raise your hand. Hello? Every Christian is a priest. According to the scriptures. All of us are priests. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are priests. Okay, so priests don't pay tithes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's serious.
So,
what is tithe? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God was trying to tell the children of Israel that among the generality of the people of
Israel,
that there were people who were special unto him. Praise the name of the Lord. Of all Christians, among the Christians, there is a special people who are special to the heart of God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those are the tithes of God. The others can do what they want to do, but these ones belong to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are a peculiar treasure unto God among all Christians. So even today in the church, you can see people, you know, living their lives, Christians, but there are a few who are consecrated unto God. God says these ones are for me. Their hearts are for God and for God only. I'll give you one illustration. When Israel was taken into captivity, they were carried away into Babylon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
At a point in time, God, through a man called Cyrus, man, yes, Cyrus.
Cyrus.
Et comment qu'il t'en ou mon corps, Nzambe a par Cyrus.
Cyrus made a decree.
Cela qui décrète mon corps.
To all the people of Israel.
Nabana nyonso à Israël.
C'est those of you who are winning.
Koba oyo nyonso balingi.
You can return back to Israel.
Bakoki kozonga pa na bango.
Hallelujah. Amen. You can return back to Israel. So men like Ezra and Nehemiah. Nehemiah.
Nehemiah.
Hallelujah. And people whose heart God had touched began to return back to
Israel.
Today, spiritually, we are returning back to our land. We have dwelt in a strange land. Among the people of the land. We have lived like them. We have followed their laws. But now we are returning back to our land. There is a lifestyle that God has called us. Now, when they were returning back, when they came back to the land, the city of Jerusalem, hallelujah, people had to live in that place. Some people volunteered to live, but they were not enough. So they had to cast lots. Lots. That is how do you describe that now? Lots. Ballots, like ballots.
Okay.
So out of every 10 persons, one person was selected to live in Israel, in Jerusalem. Praise the name of the Lord. One person was selected to live in Jerusalem. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So spiritually, tithe speaks of a people out of the general body of Christians whom God has chosen as a peculiar treasure to himself. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then, what about money? Now, the New Testament teaches us the principles of giving. There are certain laws that guide giving among the people of God. Praise the name of the Lord. One of the laws is the law of sowing and reaping. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The law of sowing and reaping. He said, if you sow sparingly, if you sow sparingly, that is little. You will reap little. If you sow bountifully, you will reap abundantly. Hallelujah. Concerning giving, he said, let every man give according as he has proposed in his heart. Not grudgingly. As if somebody is forcing you. Your giving must be an offering unto God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your giving must be done cheerfully. As you have proposed in your heart. According as God has blessed you. Hallelujah. Now, everything we do must be done as an offering unto God. If it's not done as an offering unto God, then it means nothing to God. I want to tell you something. When Paul came to the Athens, he told them something about the invisible, the unknown God. He said, God is not worshipped with man's hand. As though he needed anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God does not need anything. We are the ones that need God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. A man tells you that you need to do this, to do that, to do that. What God requires of you, first of all, is your heart. It is your heart that determines whatever offering you bring before God. Jesus says that it is the altar that sanctifies the gift. We have learned here that the altar speaks about your heart or your soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was telling some brethren the other day, I had to ask the Lord questions about this matter. And the Lord told me something. He said, I tell my people to give. Because naturally, our hearts are attached to material things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are naturally attached to money and things. And the Bible says, wherever a man's treasure is, that is where his heart is. Wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Hallelujah. Wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart is. Hallelujah. So when we give unto God, we're not actually giving our money. We're actually giving our heart. The more you are able to give, is an expression of, you understand, the more you love God, of which you love God. Hallelujah. If you understand the principle of giving, we will not be talking about tithes and offering. When you love somebody, hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not difficult to give to that person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you love your wife, in fact, you want to give her everything. You don't count how much money you give her. Because actually, love goes with giving. That's why God says, give me first your heart. When you give God your heart first, your money must automatically follow. You will not be talking about 10% or 5%. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You express your love by giving. He said, for God so loved the world.
Dieu a tant aimé le monde
that he gave his only begotten son.
Il a donné son fils unique.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whoever you love, you will give something to. The problem is that the people of God are still working under the law.
Problème est aux alanats na fait que bana na nzambe bazo continuer ko tambola na ba loi.
Their heart has not yet been given to God.
Mitema na bango epesa minanu na nzambe te.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have a wife at home.
Naza na mwasi na ndaku.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I travel,
tangu na voyage,
I'm looking for something to give her.
Nazo luka eloko moko ya kupesa e.
You understand the point? I'm looking for something to give her. It is not difficult for me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Love produces giving. God wants you to give not by law. He wants you to give by love. Not because somebody has, you know, put fear into you. If you don't give, you are robbing God. If you give God, you will have no more accident. The heart is all wrong. The heart is wrong. You know, Jacob loved
Rachel.
And he served 7 years for Rachel. And the 7 years was like 7 days. When he found out he was deceived, and they said you have to serve another 7 years. Because of the love that he had for Rachel, he served another 7 years. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When your heart is given to the Lord, even your pocket also will go to him. Nobody will have to push you anymore to give God money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's why God says, first of all, give me your heart. God is concerned about your giving. He was in the temple. And he was watching men giving their offerings. Even as we are today. As we give our offerings, he is also watching. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. The offering that men give show how much they love God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What you give is actually your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not interested in the money. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he is interested in your heart. So when God has your heart, he will also have your money. The Pharisees gave 10%. But the Lord says your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees.
Sorry?
You said your righteousness must go beyond that of the Pharisees. So we shouldn't be talking about 10%. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even if we are to go by the standard of the law, you should not give less than 10%. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it is not all about 10% or 5%. It's all about, first of all, the Bible says that the church in Macedonia, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why when we come here to share the word of God, there's a lot of emphasis on the soul. That is what
accent sur condition et âme na biso.
That's what controls giving.
Yangonde ezo contrôler makabo na biso.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When God captures your soul,
tangu nzambe akapti azui motema na yo,
everything follows. Hallelujah. So it's all about consecrating your body. Your soul. Your pocket. As an offering unto God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you see this, we will not be talking about tithe and offering anymore. You have become the tithe of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have become an offering unto God. Paul said, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, you must do it as a sacrifice and offering unto God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when men begin to argue about tithe and offering, it is because the heart is hardened against God. Because the heart is hardened, very hard against God. Hallelujah. When a man's heart has been captured, you may spend 1 year in a church and nobody has preached about tithe and offering, but men are giving every day. The right hand does not know what the left hand is doing. But the needs of people are being met. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, concerning the rapture. Hallelujah.
Enlèvement. Enlèvement.
I learned that when I came to school. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I would like to say this. You know, it's a very popular doctrine in the church today. We all grew up with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they taught us that that is the hope of the church. Now, usually, to try to condense that, you know, matter into a very short word, I usually take everybody back to Genesis. When God made man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whatever you see today, whatever you see God doing today, is a process of bringing man back to his original plan. Praise the name of the Lord. God is bringing man back to his original plan. First of all, the plan of God was that man should dwell on this earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must understand that. When God created man, before he created man, he had created the earth. It did not look the way you see it is now. And when God is through with this earth, when he's finished with what he's doing, it will not be looking like this. It will be a paradise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he put the man that he created in a garden on this earth. It was God's intention that man should dwell in that garden in the presence of God forever and ever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, when he created man, he created him in three different levels. He gave me a physical body. With this body, man dwelt on the physical earth. That is, the soul of man will express himself through this body. On the earth. With God gave man also a spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With his spirit, the soul will dwell in another dimension called the realm of the spirit. Now, I want you to understand this. Hallelujah. Man, as God created him, lived in two worlds at the same time. His body was walking upon the earth. But his inner man was dwelling in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was the way Jesus walked. He said, no man has seen God at any time. Only the Son of Man, which came down from heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. So he told them, as I'm walking with you, I am also in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That was the way God made man. Praise the name of the Lord. So man was dwelling in heavenly places. Praise the name of the Lord. His inward man was dwelling in heavenly places. Okay. Hallelujah. Please, I want to clap for her. Hallelujah. It's not easy. Hallelujah. Because we are talking spiritual things. Sometimes language is difficult to explain spiritual things. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Jesus has raised us up again into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But we are still here. But we are beginning to interact with the heavens. A part of us is moving into the heavens again. That is the journey from this place to this place to this place to this place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have the first heavens. When you get born again, you move into a dimension of heaven. You begin to see things. You begin to hear things. You begin to interact with things that your unbeliever friend does not know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are walking under light realm altogether. You are walking in that realm altogether. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you move into another realm of heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Begin to interact with things in the spirit that even some Christians don't know about. They are born again. They are in another level, but you have moved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God says, don't stay there. There is still another place beyond the veil. Hallelujah. It is the movement. Hallelujah. From the holy place to the holy of holies that you call enlèvement. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the movement of your soul from this realm of limitation into another realm of unlimitedness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That you call enlèvement. It was in this realm that Adam walked with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When man fell, He did not fall from the sky. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He did not fall from the sky. But his inward man fell from the heavenly realm he was walking in and fell to the natural realm. He now became limited to his five senses. He can only see things that are physical. He can only touch things that are physical. The heavens were shut to him. This is what you call the veil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He became shut to the heavens. He was walking in the earth. God wants to bring us back again. He wants to open the heavens to us again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it is not the catching of our physical body. This body is not man. This body is just a house that you are dwelling with. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If this body was you, then when this body falls to the earth, then you are dead. But the Christians don't die. They only sleep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul said shortly, I will put off this tabernacle. This is not me. This is not you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're not talking about a physical falling into the sky. But your inner man, your real man, hallelujah, will move into another realm in God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now let me talk about a few scriptures that are used to support this theory. You read the scripture, they say two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other shall be left. And you've heard that before. Okay, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we all wanted to be taken. All of us wanted to be taken. Because they said those who will be left behind, the Antichrist will come and and deal with them and all that. Praise the name of the Lord. He says, but when you take a closer look at the Bible, this is why I'm going to encourage you. One of the things you must begin to learn to do is to study the Bible for yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today, some of you made a response here. One of the responsibilities that will come upon you is to go to God and ask Him to teach you. Hallelujah. When God calls a man, He begins to teach him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Teaching him means that he will have to unlearn many things that he has been taught. The teaching of man can put a veil over your eyes. When you are not reading the Bible, you will see only the things that you have been taught. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Is that a 2 Corinthians chapter 3?
Hallelujah. You see that when Moses is read,
when Moses is read,
the people read Moses in the scripture. A veil is upon their eyes.
So
the scriptures begin to be, you don't see the scriptures. You only see what you have been taught. You have to pray again. I say, God, open my eyes. Teach me yourself. You will be very shocked what you will see in the scripture. Hallelujah. Because for long we have relied on men to teach us. The children of Israel said, Moses, go. Whatever he tells you, come and tell us. Hallelujah. God can speak to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You will be sure God can teach you the word. A new door will open to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, as it was in the days of Noah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They ate and drank. They planted and builded. They married and gave in marriage. Until Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and took them away. And that translation says the flood came and destroyed them.
Those who were...
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those who were taken were destroyed. And they were not raptured. It's there in your Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go back and check it. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The flood came and did what? And took them away. It destroyed them. Those who were safe were those who were in the ark. This is the ark of God. God wants to bring you to this ark of the covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our safety is not in the sky. Our safety is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said that in the day of trouble, He will hide you. Now, don't let any man deceive you. You will go through great tribulation.
He
said that through much tribulation, you will enter into the kingdom of God.
Through what?
Much tribulation. But the Lord says He will cover you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. He said, though 1,000 fall at your right hand, 10,000 fall at your left hand, the Lord said it will not come near you if you have made the Lord your habitation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord wants you to make Him your habitation. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Japan today, there was an earthquake. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And the nuclear plant broke down. And began to release poisonous radiation. Human beings live around that plant. For them, tribulation has come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Only at that point, they have to put the word of God to practice. So some will be in that place, and yet this radiation will not touch them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why God wants to hide us in Christ. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He said that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God wants to move us from this present location into heavenly places. The Bible says, and we shall be cut off.
It
says, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. If you are going to be raptured, means you remain in the sky forever.
The sky, what is the real word?
Sky now.
Le ciel.
Hallelujah. If we follow 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says we shall be caught up, and in this manner we shall remain forever with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says we shall meet Him in the air. You ask yourself, which air is He talking about? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word air there speaks about a spiritual dimension. In Ephesians chapter 2,
he
said that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Hallelujah. It is a realm presently occupied by the devil. Hallelujah. But the devil is to be cast down. And the people of God are to possess that realm. Because it is our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I am hoping that the next time will come, we'll be able to have time in detail to look at this matter. But the summary of what we are trying to tell you is simple. You should prepare for tribulation. You should make the Lord your hiding place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord can keep his people. And he will keep his people.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why we must enter. We must enter.
C'est la raison pour laquelle le
The Lord has provided protection for us here. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Question?
Again?
Okay.
Wow.
Question en Italie.
My question is
sur
le volume bateau basé sur la bayou quoi.
Merci. Alors qui est clair sur la matière il y a donné. Peut-être un livre Genèse chapitre 8.
He says that you were very clear concerning the matter of giving.
La Genèse chapitre 8, verset
22. And if you will go into Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Genesis chapitre combien? Genesis chapter 8, verse 22.
Verset 22.
Tant que la terre subsiste,
la loi du sémail et des récoltes ne cessera point.
Tant que la terre subsiste,
la loi du sémail et des récoltes ne cessera point. Isaïe 51, verset 2 à 3. Elle veut dire, portez les regards sur Abraham qui est votre père, Sarah qui est votre mère. Parce que nous sommes les héritiers de la bénédiction d'Abraham et co-héritiers de la bénédiction de Christ. Abraham, après ça qui...
Oui, avant que je traduise, je dois avoir l'idée. Quelle est la question? Okay, he says that he wants you to give more scripture to illustrate what you were saying, also concerning the verse that he gave. So he said that the Bible says that in Isaiah, that we have to put our look unto Abraham, who is our father, and Sarah, who is our mother. Okay,
et puis, la Bible dit, dans la Colossiens, nous sommes héritiers de bénédictions d'Abraham et des co-héritiers de Christ.
And in Colossians, the Bible says that we are co-heirs of Christ.
Joint heirs of Christ.
Co-heirs of Christ.
Après, c'est une précision claire, des versets clés sur la Bible. Parce que Abraham a foutu la Bible, pas à Mercedes.
Yes, he wants you to give.
Okay, Abraham gave tithe, pay tithe unto Melchizedek.
Yes.
Okay, praise God. What Abraham did. Okay, praise God.
Mm.